理课堂听 class.com。
During the week that followed, however, the Baudelaires had a wonderful time in their new home. Each morning they woke up and dressed in the privacy of their very own rooms, which they had chosen and decorated to their liking. Violet had chosen a room that had an enormous window looking out onto the snake-shaped hedges on the front lawn. She thought such a view might inspire her when she was inventing things. Uncle Monty had allowed her to tack up large pieces of white paper on each wall, so she could sketch out her ideas, even if they came to her in the middle of the night. Klaus had chosen a room with a cosy alcove in it. The word alcove, here, means a very, very small nook, just perfect for sitting and reading. With Uncle Monty's permission, he had carried up a large cushioned chair from the living room and placed it right in the alcove, under a heavy brass reading lamp. Each night, rather than reading in bed, he would curl himself in the chair with a book from Uncle Monty's library, sometimes until morning. Sunny had chosen a room right between Violet's and Klaus's, and filled it with small hard objects from all over the house, so she could bite them when she felt like it. There were also assorted toys for the incredibly deadly viper, so the two of them could play together whenever they wanted, within reason. But where the Baudelaire orphans most liked to be was the reptile room. Each morning after breakfast, they would join Uncle Monty, who would have already started work on the upcoming expedition. Violet sat at a table with the ropes, gears, and cages that made up the different snake traps, learning how they worked, repairing them if they were broken, and occasionally making improvements to make the traps more comfortable for the snakes on their long journey from Peru to Uncle Monty's house. Klaus sat nearby, reading the books on Peru Uncle Monty had, and taking notes on a pad of paper, so they could refer to them later. And Sunny sat on the floor, biting a long rope into shorter pieces, with great enthusiasm. But what the Baudelaire youngsters liked best was learning all about the reptiles from Uncle Monty. As they worked, he would show them the Alaskan cow lizard, a long green creature that produced delicious milk. They met the dissonant toad, who could imitate human speech in a gravelly voice. Uncle Monty taught them how to handle the inky newt without getting its black dye all over their fingers, and how to tell when the irascible python was grumpy and best left alone. He taught them not to give the green gimlet toad too much water, and to never, under any circumstances, let the Virginian wolf snake near a typewriter. While he was telling them about the different reptiles, Uncle Monty would often segue, a word which here means let the conversation veer off, to stories from his travels, describing the men, snakes, women, toads, children, and lizards he'd met on his journeys. And before too long, the Baudelaire orphans were telling Uncle Monty all about their own lives, eventually talking about their parents and how much they missed them. Uncle Monty was as interested in the Baudelaire stories as they were in his, and sometimes they got to talking so long they scarcely had time to gobble down dinner before cramming themselves into Uncle Monty's tiny jeep and heading to the movies.